A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey guys, this is Erica Ramirez, senior editor at Billboard, and you're listening to the Juice Podcast. With me today is features editor Brad Watte and pop editor Jason Lipschitz. Hi, what are you laughing at already?
Nothing. You got my name. You got my name.
I said Jason Lipschitz.
Yeah, it's close enough. That's fine.
No,
it's fine. It's fine.
I'm surprised. I messed up your last name.
It's more like a Schutz than a Schitz. But you know what? It happens. Hey, I'm used to these things. I'm used to it.
I'm
happy to be here. Whoever I am, I'm happy to be here.
Stop. This is your first time on the Juice
Podcast. Our debut.
This is also Brad's first time on the Juice Podcast.
I know. We finally got the invitation. Feels really nice. Feel honored. And in all seriousness, I love the Juice Podcast. It's been going strong. You're laughing at me, but I'm being sincere now that when I say I love the Juice Podcast, you guys have been doing a great job. And I am here. I'm happy to be here.
Aw. Thanks, Jace. Brad, anything you want to add?
ditto and likewise. Happy to be here.
Well, I brought you guys on to talk about a few things, but I wanted to start out with Jason. I know you went to Bonnaroo this past weekend.
I did, yes.
I was specifically interested in Kanye. First of all, Kanye's performance.
Yes.
How was it?
So Kanye's performance at Bonnaroo made headlines because he sort of made angry speeches against the press, as well as angry speeches against Bonnaroo goers who trashed his name both in 2008, the last time he performed and had sort of a disastrous performance, as well as every year since then there have been, you know, F Kanye written in the festival grounds. Like this is the fourth year I've been and I've seen it every single year. So he was rightfully pissed off. So that kind of made the headlines. I think that it was a strong performance, but uneven. He was supposed to perform for 2 hours. He played for about an hour and 40 minutes, and about 20 minutes of that hour and 40 minutes were just him talking. And I think that a lot of people were turned off by that designation of time. There were moments where it was just as great as any Kanye show, where he played All the Lights and Touch the Sky, and that's what people wanted to hear, but I think he got a little lost in the, you know, the laughing, the I'm back, the, you know, this is what I always give you guys 110%, and kind of, you know, being very defensive in that regard.
Right. Brad, did you want to say something?
Man, well, when you talk about a Kanye show, you if you're a real fan, you already know that what you're getting into as far as your time with them, and you're definitely going to get the full dosage of the rants. So if you're not a true fan, as a lot of festival goers are, you just end up seeing the headliner because he's present or they're present. Then you might be on the WTF tip and just think that this guy's is losing his mind and why is he wasting time when he could be up there performing songs I like.
Yeah.
And then, of course, like you said, he was pissed from years past and people writing F. Kanye on bathroom porter potties and stuff like that. So I don't know. I really loved him on the Yeezus tour. I saw him last November at Barclays out in Brooklyn, and it was a blast. I'm a fan, so I probably would have enjoyed Bonnaroo. Yeah.
I mean, the thing is that there were people booing during his 20-minute speech. but, and it really was 20 minutes, and 20 minutes is a long time.
Do we call it a speech or do we call it a rant?
I'm calling it a speech because that's one of the points I wanted to make, is that people are going to focus on the negativity. It actually was, you know, as offensive as he was, there were some positive messages, as in, like, you know, if you support me, you support yourself, you can do whatever you want. I never thought I'd be here.
Which is a speech he did throughout Yeezus.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So it's not like he was like raining fire on the Bonnaroo crowd, but you know, there were a lot of boos and there were a lot of people leaving halfway through, but there were also, you know, it's, that's going to happen in a crowd of however many thousand, maybe 70,000, during the headliner. And yeah, people are going to leave early to catch other stuff at a festival. And, you know, there were a lot of people who stayed around the whole time who went absolutely insane for Mercy and Touch the Sky and Power. I mean, it's, it was polarizing for sure, but that's, like Brad said, that's a Kanye West show in 2014. This is not the Glow in the Dark show where it's a lot of hits and he's still kind of a rising star. And this is Kanye the artiste in 2014.
And like he says, and like I think he said it in that speech, rant, whatever people want to call it, if you're a fan of Kanye, you're a fan of yourself. So exercise self-love. Enjoy the show.
You're just adding on to his speech. And
yeah. Just enjoy the show. And if you don't, leave quietly, man. I was one of those people that really enjoyed, like I said, the Yeezus tour when I saw it months back. And during that break in the music when he does all that talking, I was maybe two rows in front of a guy who was yelling at the top of his lungs during, like, basically what is a sermon of sorts, screaming at Kanye, saying, rap, turn the music on. And, you know, the people who were in the pews were looking at this guy like he was crazy.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you just kind of have to know what you're getting into, because you are going to be disappointed if you go anywhere and you don't get... If you go to a movie and somebody all of a sudden they stop the movie and the lead actor just starts talking at you,
yeah,
you're gonna be like, hold on, where are the effects? So I get it, I totally get it, and I understand it. But all that being said, welcome to the show.
Well, the last point I want to make is I think that I didn't see the Yeezus tour. I've seen Kanye before, but I didn't see this tour, and I think I get the feeling that this tour and this performance works a lot better at an arena show than at a festival, because, yeah, like you said, if you're going to the Yeezus tour, if you're paying money to see specifically Kanye, you're going to see all of Kanye. Like, you know what you're getting into more. At something like Bonnaroo, he's surrounded on the lineup by people like Elton John, like Lionel Richie, like, you know, Jack White, like people. Artists who are huge and have hits but are more crowd pleasing and more, you know, let's just play the hits and have some fun stage banter. That's not Kanye at all. So it's not a bad thing. It's actually kind of a good thing that he's not just that. He pushes for more. It's going to turn some people off, as it did at Bonnaroo.
So the latest Kanye rumor is that Kanye has been omitting Jay-Z's name from songs during his performances. Apparently he did so at the X Games, and then I was going to ask you, Jason, if you caught that, if that even occurred.
So I did not catch that. I stayed for the whole Kanye performance. I did not catch him not using Jay-Z's name. Maybe it's something I missed. I'm pretty sure, I would say 99.9% sure that he did not omit Jay's name in Touch the Sky, where he says, you know, now he looks at me like, damn dog, you were, I am. Like, I'm pretty sure he said Jay in that line. There were a couple other songs, I think, maybe Blood on the Leaves, but I didn't catch it. I feel like I would have caught it if he had. I mean, maybe I was asleep at the wheel a little bit, but I didn't notice that. I think it's kind of, and even if he did, it's like, is that really how someone like Kanye is going to conduct business if he has beef with Jay-Z? Like, I just don't get that.
Right.
It's like, that's how you shade him, is that you omit his name from lyrics. It's
if
like,
Brad didn't go to your wedding, would you just not acknowledge him in speeches?
I would be like, I love the Billboard.com team and name nine people and be like, and our features editor, and I just wouldn't say Brad's name. Yeah, that's how it. That's how that would go down. No, I just I think that's so silly and childish, and that's kind of why I don't believe that that's the case. It's just, right. You know, this is the kind of stuff that I get when Kanye rolls his eyes at the press, where it's like all this speculation on something so small. And by the way, I just thought it was so funny that Kanye, going back to the Bonnaroo performance, so part of his performance was him yelling literally where the press at, just screaming. Mm-hmm. I raised my hand. I'm part of the press. I'm like, hey, I'm right here. I mean, I was in the back. But anyway, he was so mad at the press. He was, because of what they said about his 2008 performance, he was like, Pearl Jam screwed me up. And it's just so funny to me that Kanye blames the press for him being hours late and people booing him for being hours late. I mean, that, you know, if you want to blame anyone, blame the people that got on him for, you know, not understanding why he's late and just booing him mercilessly, because that's what happened in 2008. It's the press just kind of reported that people booed him. I don't know. I thought that was kind of backwards as well. But anyway, yeah, going back to your Jay-Z point, I didn't catch that, and I think it's kind of silly.
Yeah, and like days later, he was in Cannes, France, and was on a panel where he was talking about how he only works with the best people. And
right,
I think initially it was perceived as a diss because he said something mentioning Jay-Z's deal with Samsung and putting out the Magna Carta album last year through that partnership.
Yeah.
But he said that the reason why he wouldn't work with Samsung, as opposed to why he would work with Apple, is because Apple is the leader in their field of work, as opposed to Samsung, who he said isn't number one. And then he said, but that's why I work with people like Jay-Z, because they are number one.
Right.
So just on a timetable level,
yeah,
this guy was at Bonnaroo 2-3 days before. Speculation is that he was omitting Jay-Z's name.
People are reaching when it comes to the Jay-Z.
It's an extreme reach, because you don't do
beef.
Something like that. And, you know, as opposed to some artists who can maybe considered to have bipolar tendencies, Kanye is pretty like consistent as far as like how he feels about things, people.
Right.
So yeah, reaching,
right.
Completely reaching.
I remember, I forget where it was where he said this, but I think about a year ago he addressed the Drake beef rumors. Because don't you remember that there were like some Drake beef rumors?
Right.
And then I totally forget where this was, but he said that like people are talking about how I hate Drake, but Drake's one of the brightest young artists. Like, I think it's the exact same thing where he's probably, I mean, I hope it doesn't have to come to this point where he has to, you know, issue a statement and be like, no, guys, me and Jay-Z are fine.
Right.
But that's basically what he did with Drake.
Yeah, I think that was during his like radio press run, where he would go from radio station to radio station.
Yeah, I think that was probably coming right off of, like, because he went to OVO Fest this year, Kanye, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Last year, he did.
And then came the radio run, so, yeah.
Jason, you mentioned you didn't go to the Yeezus tour. Was it because you hate the Yeezus album?
So I don't want to make myself an enemy to your listeners, but as Erica and Brad know, it is my dislike of Yeezus is well documented as well. I really don't like that album, and I own every other Kanye West album. I think he's a brilliant artist, and I think brilliant artists are allowed to make colossal mistakes.
Yeezus is a colossal mistake.
I don't think mistake is the wrong word. I just think it's
just didn't appeal to you.
It didn't appeal to me. Yes.
See? I see.
There you go. Let's not call it bad. Let's just say it didn't taste good to
you. It did not taste good to me.
Well, and, I asked you that not to...
put me on blast.
Not to make you sound like a hater. I asked that I asked that to also ask both of you what you guys are expecting or would like to hear on Kanye's new album.
Go ahead, Brad.
Man,
I'm still sipping haterade.
No,
so
go ahead and take another swig. No, I mean, I'm not one of those people. I mean, okay, first off, I'll say I am one of those people who, however the artist feels, that's what I want to hear. I'm not really much of a fan of like, this is what works. This is what's going to be another hit. So do that. So if Kanye was in that zone this time last year and he was Mr. Angry Man, then give me all you got. But not to put thoughts or whatever on not to put thoughts in Kanye's mouth, I guess, so to speak. I think that he looks a bit happier, and he appears to be in a way happier place than he was this time last year. He's married. He has a beautiful daughter. You know, a lot of the things that he was angry about last summer are coming true. He has the Adidas line coming. Business-wise, it seems like he's about to announce some other collaborative efforts. So he's realizing or beginning to realize a lot of his dreams. All that is to say that I would expect this album to be a whole lot happier. So I'm looking forward to hearing, you know, things that can be played in clubs, that can be played at parties, and not, you know, change the mood immediately to anger or frustration or something like that. A lot of Yeezus couldn't be played in the midst of a barbecue mix or a brunch mix, or, you know,
it'd be pretty intense barbecue.
It'd be pretty intense.
Drop New Slaves.
You know, exactly. Exactly. New Slaves isn't fit for French toast. Yeah. So I'm really excited to hear, you know, something that's a little bit more diverse. That's really it.
I mean, for me, like I said, I didn't love Yeezus. One of the most frustrating things about Yeezus to me was that there were a lot of good ideas there. And you listen to...
There were a lot of good ideas. Poorly executed ideas.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, you know, a lot of those songs, to me, were brilliantly constructed. I just didn't personally vibe with any of the lyrics on this album. In the sense that My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy just completely blew me away with how surreal and visceral his response to basically being an asshole as perceived by everyone was. I thought Yeezus was a missed opportunity in terms of, you know, really getting to say what he wanted to say, becoming this rock star. He went in so many different angles and didn't, you know, really say anything cohesive to me. You know, that's just my opinion, but again, a lot of people that love that album, it just didn't gel with me. What I'd love to see from his next album is to take some of the music from Yeezus and really kind of incorporate that into his hip-hop production. And even if not, maybe he goes deeper down the rock hole and finds something really profound to say this time around. I mean, I'm not opposed to Yeezus Part 2. I just hope that, you know, the messages are a little more clear to me, at least.
All right. Well, I think not only I, but I think we hear that it's less brash.
Yeah.
I guess a little bit more melodic. Some soul samples have returned. So it doesn't sound like it will sound like Yeezus.
Yeah.
So,
well,
you may be buying this one.
Man, the thing is, it's like to give a perfect example, like Black Skinhead, I think that the music of Black Skinhead is unreal and unbelievable. And then the lyrics, I just can't get behind at all. So that's like kind of how I feel about that album. And you know, maybe he goes deeper down that well. Maybe it's more melodic. I love his melodic stuff. So, right. So we'll see.
Another Bonnaroo act I wanted to talk about was Frank Ocean. You know, his album is rumored to drop in July.
Can't wait.
This also why Brad is on this podcast episode. But there's not much else out there about the album. Do you think that Frank Ocean can or will pull, quote unquote, a Beyonce and just drop his album next month and call it a day?
That would be awesome. Yeah, that would be great. I would be very happy about that. And I think we talk about the artist who could pull a Beyonce and generate that kind of excitement. I think Frank Ocean is definitely one of those artists now. He sort of did that with Channel Orange to some extent. I remember that it was supposed to come out the third weekend of July 2012. And then he performed on Jimmy Fallon. And it was like, oh, by the way, it's out now, a week early. Go get it.
Right.
So I think he's definitely open to something like that in terms of a strategy. And it wouldn't shock me if it dropped and people lost their mind. New Frank Ocean album all over Twitter.
I want to say like people... I mean, I know that artists do care as far as sales go, but I'm not sure if he cares so much about it to the point where if he wants to drop it, he will, and then he'll see about sales.
Yeah.
I think he would be one of those artists.
Yeah, I think the thing about pulling a Beyonce is you'd be hard-pressed to find an artist who literally is as big, as famous, as highly regarded as her. So it probably wouldn't come out to the same amount of fanfare just because there's not going to be the same amount of people on Twitter or Facebook losing their shit because Frank Ocean released a new album. All that being said, on a cool factor level, on a fan anticipation, there are a lot of people who are true fans of his that are waiting on any semblance of Frank Ocean new material. So I'd be excited to get that and to wake up in the middle of the night to crazy emails from Billboard.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
workmate saying, you know, have you heard this thing, what's going on? So he's definitely capable of it, I'm sure, and he's not super into press and media to begin with, so that'd kind of be an ideal situation because he doesn't have to do the press leading up to it. He doesn't have to do a lot of things that, you know, artists have to do to promote. He can just drop it and cherry pick as far as where he wants to perform, maybe do Fallon again, maybe, you know, do a little bit of this and that, but just drop it and kind of fade away until it's time to tour it.
Yeah, I think the most exciting thing about the prospect of a new Frank Ocean album just falling out of the sky is that it literally could be anything. Like,
right.
He's demonstrated before that he's not afraid to make, you know, the single of his album a 10-minute song like Pyramids is. We have no idea what to expect from this Frank Ocean album, and that's one of the most exciting feelings you could have is just to... You know, it appears in iTunes, and then you say, "All right, let's dive in. We haven't heard anything yet."
He's performed. He performed a few new songs. What was it, the top of last year? But I mean, he's that artist where he might not even put those songs on the album, so we can't really say.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Brad.
Oh no, I just wanted to quickly say, like, I just think it's really cool. Especially in this day and age when you have Twitter and all these different mediums and artists can keep in touch and they're kind of almost as reachable, definitely more reachable than any other music era has ever had as far as fans to artist relationships. It's really cool when artists kind of just disappear. Especially for this show, so an artist like Frank and artists like Kendrick Lamar, where you kind of, I was saying it the other day, like, I was just wondering, like, what are these guys up to? Because they're not making any noise whatsoever. And I was like, oh, they're creating.
Yeah.
And that's really cool and exciting for me. Because like you said, I have no idea what Frank Ocean is doing. He's not on Twitter talking about, like, in the studio with such and such, or I'm in this kind of groove right now, or whatever. So when he releases the first single, or he, you know, releases that album out of the blue, if he chooses to do so, we'll all be pleasantly surprised, hopefully, but definitely surprised.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's one of the things I respect so much about the hip hop community is that artists are just allowed to go away and work on their next opus. I think that it's harder to do in pop music and rock music and country music to some extent. A lot of people asking questions, where are they? Where's the single? What's going on? With someone like Jay-Z and Kanye and Beyonce and, you know, now Frank and Kendrick, you can have have artists, you know, take some time, and everyone's totally fine with that. I respect that. Let the people cook, as Erica is wont to say.
I will say though that I feel like rap fans are the most critical when the music actually comes out.
Oh, for sure.
So
I guess
that's like the downside of
Yeah.
So I'm going to switch gears and talk about Drake. I know it's a surprise to both of you guys.
Talk about Drake.
Because, you know, I never talk about Drake. So his freestyle 0-100 / The Catch Up debuts on Rap Airplay this week at number 22. I was wondering and waiting for that song to get on one of our charts, and it finally did. What, you're smiling. Jason.
No, I love. Hey, I'm always happy to talk about Drake.
Okay, so what do you think about 0 to 100?
I think it's great. I think it's in line with all of his songs that he just sort of tosses out,
right?
In between albums, it might not be as amazing as an album cut. It might not be Hold On, We're Going Home, but it's still Drake. It's still something special because it has his name attached to it. I mean, I enjoyed Draft Day when that came out. I enjoyed the songs that he dropped before Take Care, like Dreams Money Can Buy, and the song with Rick Ross, whose name I'm blanking on.
Free Spirit.
Free Spirit, yeah.
Yes.
Tap my name on your chest so I know it's real.
So you know it's real.
Yeah.
I did that. I got Drake's name tatted on my chest.
Yeah, he knows.
Is that what's your favorite non-album cut?
Oh, that's a good question.
Probably Trust Issues.
So Trust Issues has a part of Khaled's song in it, like the I'm On One song.
Yeah.
That is the reason why I don't like Trust Issues, because I'm like,
I love Trust Issues. That's the most, to me, Trust Issues was, I remember because Marvin's Room came out.
Right.
And I was like, oh, wow, Drake's going full emo.
Right.
And then, so he's on like almost like this emo course, and then he keeps going and going. And the end point to me is Trust Issues.
Right.
Like, you cannot get, he arrived at Trust Issues and said, I've gone to the top of the emo mountain and I can't. And now he has to go back down. And that's why I love Trust Issues.
That is perfect.
Okay, thank you.
Brad,
our producer Madeline is cracking up.
I don't know how you could follow up with that. I was just gonna say I like 5 a.m. in Toronto is my favorite. The whole every song sounds like Drake featuring Drake was perfect.
Yeah, a couple of great lines in that one.
But emo moment, I mean Mountain Peak, ahead, bro.
It's not about trying to follow up with Jason's thoughts.
Because you just can't.
I'll just have my own and they will be different. I think one of my, I have two favorites, Free Spirit, which Jason already mentioned. And, I don't know. I like just the fun stuff. Like Girls Love Beyonce. I like that one.
Oh, of course you like Girls Love Beyonce.
That was a great song.
With James Fauntleroy.
Yeah. I just love that he puts out all this, like, it's still quality music, even though maybe it's not as cohesive as, or it doesn't make as much sense as the stuff that eventually makes the album. It's like, of course it doesn't, because especially an artist like Drake, he creates stuff and it's like, this is a body of work, and song two has to somehow make sense when 10 minutes goes by and you're on song five. So all this stuff that he's kind of making on the fly just because it feels good, you know, is not necessarily trash, which is the case a lot of the times when people, artists, we interview people all the time and they'll say, man, I made 50 songs for this album and only, you know, 12
and
of
it
them
makes you a little
make
nervous.
The cut. And it makes you nervous. What with Drake, if he says he made 30 songs, you actually want to hear number 29.
Right.
And if that's Trust Issues, if that's Free Spirits, if it's Girls of Beyonce, they're all worth your time. So in this case, Girls Love Beyonce is just loose and cool and accurate. accurate.
Yeah.
But you mentioned Hold On, We're Going. That's totally different than these freestyles.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that, and that's why people have to take something like 0 to 100 or Draft Day or something like that with a grain of salt, because it's not as radio ready, some would say, as Hold On, We're Going Home. I mean, obviously that's an R&B song, but yeah, these are kind of tossed out songs that are, I almost think of them as like, you know, free association for Drake. It's like he's thinking about Girls Love Beyonce one day. He just wants to rap about that. And maybe it might not make the album, but it's still worth hearing because it's Drake.
Here's my thing, is that even though they probably won't make an album, I wouldn't be mad to hear 0 to 100 on an album.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
Or Draft Day or, you know, some songs like that. I think that's why, and like you mentioned, like, it makes me nervous when artists are like, oh, here's another freestyle. And I'm like, oh, no. But with Drake, I don't think there's been one, you know, where I'm just like, you shouldn't have put this freestyle out. You should have held it.
Yeah. And I mean, another 0 to 100 would have been another artist like single, on an album. And one of the reasons I like this song particularly is just because you don't get to hear, to his credit, Drake usually has like a purpose. Like with every song, especially on the ones that make albums, they have a very much so have a purpose. They're in sync with the rest of the album in some way or form. But most artists ramble and it sounds good. Like they ramble and the words rhyme. So it's like, okay, his flow is tight or whatever. And you can say, Rick Ross is excellent at saying nothing and sounding good at it. And there are like 20 other rappers who are great ones, but just talk. So you never really get a chance to hear Drake do that. So 0 to 100 is really a good example of like Drake just raps. And he's a good, right. Like he's a grade A rapper. And sometimes it has a grandiose purpose. And sometimes he just felt like going for it. And
like the fact that he could do this is, I guess, the point for me. Is the fact that he could put out these freestyles and people could listen to it on the radio so much that it actually charts without any other push.
And is it on sale? This is straight off of streams.
It's all radio.
And radio, yeah.
Pretty crazy.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah, the cult of Drake is real. Like, he is a massive, massive star. He's on his third album, and each sales week debut has been bigger than the last.
Right.
Which is very, very rare. So, yeah, he's Drake. He's a massive superstar.
Yeah, and in between, you know, the last album he released and now, you know, he's probably released, like, an album's worth of free material.
Just the freestyles that he's put out, like the Jodeci freestyle, like even like a list of those is, you know.
Yeah, it's just amazing. He really keeps like his fans like well fed. It's like you get an album, a quality, great album, and then you get several streams of consciousness throughout the year.
Right.
And then you get album. And then you get another album, not to mention all the features. So it's a lot of just material, and it's not overdoing it. It always feels like it's almost right on time. Like you weren't asking for it, but you got 0 to 100, and now you're playing it a bunch of times to the point now where, like you said, it's charting.
Right. Well, I wanted to close the episode with a question that I have just one word answer to, but you guys hopefully will have more than that. Lil Wayne is putting out two albums supposedly this year. He was supposed to retire apparently after Carter Five, but he has extra songs that did not make Carter Five, so he will put out two albums. Are you excited for two Lil Wayne albums? Because clearly my answer for myself is no. I'm not excited.
You're not?
I am not excited. Like I'm not excited.
I think it depends on what the two albums are to me.
What if one is Carter Five and the other one is a rock album again?
Then I'll be more excited for the rock album.
What? No, I'm kidding. What if it's a pop album?
If it's Rebirth 2, boy, you better watch out for that. Or if it's an I'm still not a human being after two albums of not being a human being. I don't know. I mean, I think that Lil Wayne has had a rough couple years in terms of critical output. I think that he's had some strong material over that time, but nothing compared to when he was going from 2005 to 2008. Those four years were you know, monstrously successful for him. I mean, my expectations for Carter Five aren't soaring based on the Carter Four and everything that's come in between these two Carter albums, but it's still Wayne, and part of me still hopes that he took some time off and got his head right and is going to come back really strong. I have no idea what that second album is. It really might be a rock album. It might be like a polka album. Who the hell knows?
Well, the thing is that it's supposedly leftover songs. So it's like, is it going to be that much different than the Carter
Five?
That's
what I was just saying. There are a lot of artists who say, you know, I caught a groove and I made 100 songs. And if, like I said, if that's Drake, you know, you want to hear those latter stage, you know, I just had it in me, so I rapped. But Lil Wayne, I mean, he's notorious for being that guy that if you leave him in a studio for 3 days and he has 1,000 beat options, he's going to rap on 1,000 different beats and say the same thing.
So are you saying that Drake has surpassed his mentor?
I mean, in quality of albums, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
And I was like, because if you say no, you are no longer on the podcast.
Yo, Drake is by far a better album maker than Lil Wayne, by far. It's not even a question. The I can't really
current,
be aimed.
Well, the current Lil Wayne, the past like 5 years.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Lil Wayne, yeah.
Yeah, I think that I kind of want to have like a separate podcast just debating what that second Lil Wayne album's gonna be. Could it be T-Wayne? Are we finally getting T-Wayne?
There is also the Lil Wayne times Jewel Santana album.
I was just gonna say that.
Lil Wayne and Drake album. They are going on tour.
Yeah.
Yeah, that you did not sound so excited for that really one. Like that. You want it to be T-Wayne.
Yeah, if a T-Wayne album dropped tomorrow, I would listen to it 100%. Because of the spectacle.
But you hate Yeezus. I don't know if you're going to be on this podcast again. Because the fact that you would buy a Lil Wayne T-Pain album.
I don't think a T-Wayne album would be good.
I refuse to call it T-Wayne. That's my thing.
I don't know. I don't really know what it would be. Would it be like an R&B album? Because like How to Love
I think it's just more.
He makes it sound as if it's just
It sounds like it's just going to be an extension. I don't think there's any new idea to it. It's like there's the Carter Five, and oh, by the way, I have more songs, and it's not going to be he doesn't want to do a Carter Five double album, so. You get two albums from Lil Wayne in 2014. And I think in the clip, that Weezy Wednesdays clip where he kind of made that announcement for two albums this year, he said there'd probably be even more music in 2015.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense just based on looking at like what Justin Timberlake did. Like, you know, people like 2020 Experience Part 1 more than Part 2.
That is another episode of the podcast, only feature, Brad.
Let me tell you, I don't know where Justin Timberlake is, but I can smell the second half of that 2020 Experience album.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
And it's rancid. It's just like, it's bad.
What I was going to say is that it really helped his sales for him to split them up in terms of two album releases, one in March and one in September. He had two number one albums. They both surpassed 300,000 copies sold. So, I mean, Lil Wayne is probably looking at that and looking at how much material he has and thinking, why the heck don't I do that and drop two albums in this year?
Right.
We'll see.
But yeah, to answer your question, no, not excited for the other.
You want to make sure you add that you're not excited.
Yeah, let's really just answer this question. Yeah, that second, whatever follows Carter 5. I do think Lil Wayne is kind of in a good groove as far as rapping is concerned. I do like his verse on Loyal. I do like him on the one with him and Drake, Believe Me, I think is what it's called. I like that single. And that's Wayne's first single. Yeah. I do like those songs. So I feel like he's in a good groove. And if he puts out a tight 12, 13 song album, which I hope Carter 5 is, I think it'll be worth listening. I think it'll be solid. But anything past that.
Just, I Am a Human Being Part 2 was around like 18 songs, wasn't it? It was like a long.
Yeah.
Wayne packs it in.
I just thought of another one that would really. This one, I kid about T-Wayne. This actually would excite me if there was a like father, like son part 2.
I would not be
Lil Wayne and Birdman album. I would lap that up.
You know exactly what like you're getting with that.
Madman.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would not be mad at that.
Oh my goodness gracious.
Please don't ever mention the T-Wayne album ever again.
But not so fun fact for me album, because I'm really a big fan of when artists say like they stuck with an album from its conception in their mind to like damn near it getting pressed up in a factory. And Lil Wayne is one of those artists where he just is the creator, and then he kind of hands like a bin of songs to the executive producer and says, here, pick them. Like, pick the ones that make the album. So I think as far back as like the Carter 1 or Carter 2, he hasn't really been like, this song has to make it, this song doesn't make it. So when you get Lil Wayne albums, you get what someone else thought would be a good plate of food for you.
Here's how I would play it if I was Lil Wayne right now, and you know, with this impending album release coming up, I would drop any kind of mixtape I could, and just really put out like a 10 song mixtape and really get people excited about the Carter 5. Just do your darndest to make sure that this is not another, you know.
Do you think that should be those quote unquote leftover songs?
I think so.
Smarter.
I think that if he wants to get people on board for the Carter Five, and a lot of people are going to buy the Carter Five when it comes out, but if he wants to get real critical hip hop fans on board, drop a mixtape beforehand, kind of saying, hey guys, I'm back. I'm hungry again. This is a preview. Carter Five's coming. And you know what? If that mixtape was good, I'd be excited for the Carter Five. I honestly would.
I'm going to connect you with Birdman after this, and you can you can let him know.
Dude, I'm rubbing my hands. You can't see. The listeners can't see, but I am rubbing my hands as we speak.
On that note, we are going to end this episode of the Juice Podcast. Thank you guys for coming, for hating, and everything that you do that I love.
Can't wait to be back. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.